6, verses 15 down through 21. Let's ask God's blessing on his word this morning. Father in heaven, we lift up before you this text and ask that it would be your Holy Spirit that takes it and applies it to each one of our hearts and our lives. For Lord, we know that your word shall never return unto you void, meaning that it always serves its purpose. And I pray that this morning your purpose might be fulfilled in touching each heart concerning our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. John chapter 6, verse 15 down through 21, it says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." I took us to this particular text this morning because I want you to note in verse 15, it says that when Jesus therefore perceived that they were come and to take him by force and to make him a king, then he departed again into a mountain himself alone. That's a striking verse because it tells us that these people, as they saw Christ do his miracles and as they saw Christ minister to the masses, as they saw Christ heal people and counsel people and minister to people in unique ways, there became a circle of folks who begun to say, let's make him king. They were so hopeful that God was going to send the Messiah in an earthly kingdom way rather than an eternal spiritual kingdom way. And so they're ready to take him by force and force him to be a king. But he chose to be a servant. This morning we went ahead and we had this baby dedication with these moms and dads and the precious babies all across the platform. And each one of them has to make a choice. Do I be a servant? Do I be a comforter, a compassionate, prayerful, ministering parent? Or do I be a king where I walk in the house and I stomp my foot and I demand it to be my way always? Or do I nurture and care for and minister to these little souls that they might themselves come to faith? Christ that day, he could have said, sure, let's be the king. And certainly the Bible teaches us that he had the power to call from heaven itself 10,000 legions of angels. They could have definitely put him upon the throne and he could have established a kingdom. But that's not what he chose to do. He knew what secular rulers were. That's not why Christ came. Came to be a spiritual minister. Came to give his life a ransom for many, that you and I might have eternal life through him. He came to sacrifice. That's what parenting is, isn't it? Parenting is a sacrifice. It's saying that we're going to go ahead and take this little person and they're actually going to take priority in our lives. We have to make sure they eat on time, that they sleep on time, they get changed on time. I mean, they really kind of take over, don't they? Now, if we're not careful, we let that infant need carry over through their entire childhood and they run the whole household. And that's not what it's supposed to be. But we see in this text that Christ chose, he chose to not dominate, but to minister. I want you to look with me, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 down through 28. And here we see a great example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 down through 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So here you find Christ actually talking about this very specific thing, where you have secular rulers who dominate and control and rule. But he says, among you and I as Christians, he says, those who want to be chief, let them be a minister. Those who want to rule, let them minister. Let them care for and nurture others. That's really the role of a Christian. It's the role of a Christian parent, of taking that time and laying yourself aside and really investing into the soul of somebody else. You know, the Bible tells us to go ahead and esteem others above ourselves. That's an actual New Testament biblical principle, where we go ahead and lay aside all the self-esteem theology of people today, and we embrace caring for others. That's what Jesus does. And that's what he calls you and I to do as a church and as families, as part of a community. He's not called us to dominate and to control. He's called us to minister as Christian leaders, especially in our homes. You know, it's an interesting thing that you hear all the time in secular government. They'll say, you cannot legislate morality. Have you ever heard that? You cannot legislate morality. And yet it happens all the time. Certainly we see that they have legislated babies being killed in the womb. Since Roe versus Wade, over 60 million children have been killed in the womb in the United States alone. 60 million. So you see these precious little souls right here. The government had said, it's okay. 60 million of them. 14.6% of all pregnancies in the United States right now are aborted. Can you imagine? 14.6, and that's down from the high. The high was almost 30%. The government does step into our lives. And you and I sometimes have to know better than what the government legislates or pressures us to do. Certainly when we look across our nation, we see the value and the preciousness of children, of the gift that God has given us in our homes. We certainly see the value and the preciousness of that for the future generations, not just in our home, but in our society, our nation. Children must be prized, nurtured, yes, disciplined, but also loved. There's got to be that balance. So when Christ was offered to be the king, he said, no. I'm going to minister. I'm going to give myself a ransom for many. I'm going to sacrifice for the greater good of all, because that is the will and desire of God. When we look back at our text there, look again with me at the Gospel of John chapter 6. As we come down to verses 16 down through 19, you really find that the Lord knows his people, just like a parent knows his children. I have been, when my kids were little, they didn't have to say much, even in a crowd, and I knew it was my kid. If they said, Dad, there were lots of dads there and lots of kids, but for some reason, you can just pick out your child's name, well, not their name, but their, although I could pick out my children's name, but you can go ahead and pick out their voice, their tone, and when they say, Dad, even if you're in the midst of a bunch of dads, you know, that's mine. And you deal with it. You know your children, don't you? Well, so does God know us. Look back with me at our text in Gospel of John chapter 6. Look with me at verses 16 on down. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, entered into a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. And he said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." I want you to note that he recognizes and he sees, even in the midst of a raging sea, he knows his own. He knows where they are. He knows what's going on. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That is the relationship Christ has with his children. And it really should be the relationship that you and I as mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, it should be the relationship we have with our children too. We should know them well enough to recognize them, and they should know us well enough to follow us. It's a relationship that goes on for a lifetime. I know these young couples standing here with these young babies, and in the middle of the night when those babies are waking them up and crying, they're thinking, "Oh, I can't wait until this child grows up and I don't have to deal with this." Well, you won't have to deal with the crying in the middle of the night, but you are a parent forever. There's never a time when you won't wake up in the night and think about that little one who maybe is now 35 or 40. You are a parent forevermore. And you will know their voice, and you will know them, and they will know you. And Lord willing, they will follow you as you live an example as a Christian parent, no matter how old you or they are. Certainly, you see Jesus as he walks upon this raging sea, and his children see him, but they're afraid. They don't quite recognize him. And he tells them, "Don't be afraid. It's just me. Don't be afraid." You know, it's like a child who wakes up in the middle of the night and they hear all those squeaks and the wind blowing and the branches hitting the windows or the side of the house. And they come tiptoeing into mom and dad's bedroom. They're coming because they want to be comforted. They don't want to be afraid. And mom and dad tells them, "Let's not be afraid. Let's solve the problem." Whatever it may be, mom and dad are going to help them through. And here Jesus is on this raging sea, and he is going to help his disciples. The interesting thing is these disciples kind of, you know, they launched without Christ. You know, you don't find the text. It doesn't say to us that Jesus said, "Now listen, when I go up into the mountain and I take a break, you go ahead and go to Capernaum." You don't see that. It says that he hadn't come down yet and it was dark and they decided to go. Sometimes if we're not careful, we launch before we should launch. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're not really walking with the Lord. We're walking ahead of the Lord. And that's what happens with these disciples. They've got no time to wait. They've got places to go, things to do, people to see. So they jump in their boat and they find themselves in a raging sea. And if we're not careful, we don't follow our Heavenly Father right, and we find ourselves in a raging sea. We need to be sure that in the family of God and even within our families at home, we are in tune with one another. One of the things I really find sad about the current generation is things are so hectic, so just disconnected. Kids going every different way, parents going every different way. I talk to families, sometimes they almost never even have time to sit and eat together. That's tragic. You and I, we have to work together. You're a family. There's a whole lifetime of going and doing your separate business. But these little precious ones right here, they need an intact family throughout their childhood, not just till they're 12. Or 15, all the way until they're old enough to be on their own. They need an intact unit where you come together and hold hands and pray together and eat together and fellowship together, visit together. It's important. These disciples, they went ahead and launched out. They shoved off without Jesus. And then they found themselves afraid. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's a great verse. It's a good verse to hide in your heart. Etch it in your soul. And remember that you need to wait on Him. He has so much for us. It's like parents. We tell the kids, wait for me. You start to step out in the street, wait for me. Because you know there are dangers out there, and you need to be that protective force. Well, so also is it with God in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, Oh my God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You see, we have an objective. Our goal is to honor God in our daily lives and to pass that on to our children, that they may learn to flee those things that would do them harm and embrace those things like godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, that they might find in Christ eternal life. By calling upon Him and asking for His forgiveness and His salvation and embracing Him by faith and receiving Him into their hearts and into their lives. Certainly the Lord knows that we will face storms. That is why He encourages us to wait on Him. Life does have storms. Each one of these little ones sitting right that were here just a minute ago with their moms and dads, each one of them will face storms. And how we wish we could protect them from every one. How we wish that they would never have to experience the lightning of life, the harsh winds of life, the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the tornadoes of life. But they will come. What's important is that these little ones are taught where it is that they need to hold on to, where they need to find refuge, where they need to find strength, that it is in God, that He will walk through every storm with us. Even the very valley of the shadow of death, He is there. And that is a way that every one of us will one day pass. Just as birth came, so also will we pass into eternal life. Whether it be into eternal life of destruction or eternal life of heaven. And it's our role as a church and as parents to instruct our children to know and to put their faith in an eternal Savior. So while, yes, they will face storms, we have a responsibility to guide them through those storms, that they might find in the Lord strength and peace and comfort, protection, shelter. That's the kind of offer that He gives to us when He says to us, Do not be afraid, it is I. When you look at verse 21 in our text, it says, Then they willingly received Him. Then they willingly received Him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. That's our goal. Our goal is to see the next generation willingly receive the Lord. Make Him a part of their heart and a part of their life, that they might face life's journey unafraid, strengthened in Him. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31 says, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You and I, we look at all that transpires in the world today. And you need to remember that God cares about you. On this big, vast globe, spinning and hurling through the universe, God cares about you and your children and your nieces and nephews and your cousins and your neighbors and your co-workers. God cares about you. And it's up to us to convey that to them. That's what baby dedication is about. It's about a commitment. That yes, I make a commitment to raise my children up to know and love God. That they might find in that the benefits of understanding God cares about them. It's interesting that the text tells us that they received the Lord into the boat. You remember that he refused to be a king, but he's always welcome. He's always ready to be welcomed in. He's that kind of servant to us all that knocks at the door, and he humbly waits, according to Revelation 3, for you and I to hear his voice and to recognize him and to open the door. And there he is. But a king doesn't wait. A king has somebody else open the doors and they come right in, whether you're ready or not. But Jesus simply waits, waiting for you and waiting for me, waiting for us to open the door and say, come in. Come into my ship. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my home. What are you doing with Jesus today? These moms and dads, they made a commitment today to raise their babies in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They've invited today Christ into their homes to influence their children towards faith and hope and strength and comfort and shelter. Where are you at today in your relationship with Jesus? Are you waiting for him to barge into your life like a king? Or are you willing to invite him in as he comes to minister to you? He died on the cross for your sins, just as he died for mine. And he simply calls out to us. And he says, whosoever shall call upon my name, whosoever, meaning any one of us, shall be saved. He wants to save you and me, not just from a storm upon the sea, but from an eternity without God. So today I ask you, what have you done with Jesus? Have you received him into your heart and into your life? Have you stopped being afraid and willing to invite him to come in, to be a part of your life? Let's bow our heads. And as our head is bowed and as we look in our hearts, my goal is to bring you to a place of decision this morning, just as I looked at each one of the couples and I asked them, do you make a covenant? So we bow our heads at this moment and I ask you, would you by faith invite Jesus Christ to come in? For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, as your Holy Spirit moves and works in our hearts this morning, I pray that if there be one person here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, that in just a moment when we give the invitation time, that you would beckon them and woo them to come forth, that we might pray with them and see them today call upon you. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who are already Christians. They've already called upon you and received you into their hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that today we would make a commitment to let you come into our homes, our jobs, our community, our church. For Lord, we want to make you the leader. We're thankful that you are the servant, but we need you to guide us and direct us. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.